This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First turnover of the game. For Wiley, a three is good. Now South Carolina with numbers. Johnston bodies in and finishes. Cardoso working O'Grady. Cardoso and the foul. Johnston's three is good. For Wiley whips it out. Pow pow. Yes, yes. Squeezes it out to For Wiley. Pow pow's three again. With those two fouls as Hicks maneuvers inside. Hall lets it fly. You bet. For Wiley flips it ahead. Johnson. Another. Tessa Johnson. It's in the pull-up. No. Rebound. Snare. Cardoso. Unstoppable. Perfection with a touch of sweet redemption. Undefeated South Carolina has won its third national championship.
The clock ticks down. 2 seconds to play. Celebration in Cleveland. Perfection wears garnet and black. The South Carolina Gamecocks complete their first perfect season with their third national championship.
Yeah, it is.
Perfection.
Perfection. It is the noon hour. Welcome back to Inside the Gamecocks, champions again. Dawn Staley and her basketball team have done it. 87-75. The final score over Iowa yesterday in Cleveland, Ohio, marking their third title run since 2017. It's been quite remarkable. We, of course, covered much of it in the first hour, but they deserve a lot more than that. 109-3. That's their record. 109-3 in the last 3 years, the last 5 years, 167-9. Unbelievable. The Golden Tones of Mike Morgan join us and will stay with us until the end of the program. The national anthem brought to you by our friends at Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. Billy G's Carolina Barbecue.com, CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com to have it sent right to your house, and the secret spice rub as well. Mike, women's basketball is at an all-time high. I mean, Friday night, Iowa, UConn, 14.3 million watched it. And then you had South Carolina, NC State, 7.1, I think. So you're talking about over 21 million people that watched those two games. We have not gotten yesterday's ratings back, but in the most visible year ever in this sport, South Carolina claims the national championship. Incredible run.
Yeah, it is. I watched more. this freaking microphone is going to be the bane
right
of my existence.
Gate.
Right off the gate. Just a beautiful way to start off the segment. Just try and F up my world in the first 60 seconds. I watched more women's basketball in the last couple weeks than I probably have in the last few years. And like I said on, I think it was this show where JC and Morgan, like, I'm not wearing that with a badge of honor. I'm not engaging in hyperbole in saying that this is taking over the world or it's better than the men's game or anything like that. I was thoroughly entertained by certain matchups, and there's no doubt yesterday's ball game is going to draw a massive number. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people are calling for 20 million. That might be a little bit ambitious because, again, I don't think South Carolina is the villain. That LSU, like, you didn't have the LSU villainy type of angle. And it's 3 o'clock on a Sunday. Although you had ABC, you had ESPN, you had all, and this is what ESPN could, and granted, I realize when I talk about ESPN, because I've been an employee for a while now, some people will think that is a shilling. If you know me well, you know that's not the game I play. There's plenty of things on ESPN I'm not going to sit here and endorse. But what they can do that Fox and all the other networks can't do, they have the ability and the platforms to make something as big as it can possibly be, to draw in people that could care less about women's basketball. And all of a sudden they will beat you over the head with it on every format. I mean, from your phone, how many people have some form of the ESPN app, whether it's the free version or the plus version, where you're getting updates on your phone? Hey, by the way, we're 17 minutes till tip off. Hey, by the way, so-and-so just said South Carolina should win the game. By the way, the last game drew 14 million. Here's what this person thinks. So it's just like, the average person might be like, oh, wow, this is different. This is bigger than what I normally thought. So, yeah, I watched it not based on any of that. I based it, number one, I know we're going to talk about it on this show. So when South Carolina is involved, there's no question I was going to be tuned in. But just in general, even if I wasn't, I was going to tune into these much more than I had in games past. Overall assessment, I don't follow women's basketball recruiting at all. I don't know if you do, Jamie. I know it's discussed somewhat on the show. That's why the John Whittles of the world come on. They kind of get deep in the weeds on some of those ancillary subjects. My assessment of watching the best of the best in women's college basketball this year during this tournament, no one even touches the talent level of South Carolina. It's not even close. It's right. I mean, South Carolina's bench is infinitely better than four of the five starters for Iowa. Connecticut was infinitely better top to bottom than Iowa. LSU was better top to bottom than Iowa. I mean, Iowa, there wasn't for Caitlin Clark, who some people seems to trigger them that Caitlin Clark gets the attention. A lot of weird reasons, too. kind of makes you wonder. Some people really ought to take a look in the mirror, kind of figure out who they are when you're wondering where that hate is coming from. Like, if you just want her to lose because you're playing against her, that's natural. If you're tired of all the exposure, yeah, I get it. It's shoved down your throat just like so many other things are in athletics. But what she did to take that group, I made the analogy, it's like 79 Indiana State with Bird and a bunch of guys that were technically starters in Division I college basketball, but it was Larry Bird, the reason why Indiana State ever got to the national championship game. And it was Caitlin Clark. You won't see Iowa in a Final Four again, probably in our lifetime, because they're not getting another Caitlin Clark. I'm amazed. Like, this is not men's basketball where a Kentucky can out NIL everybody by millions and millions of dollars. I don't know what South Carolina's NIL is, but I doubt it's exorbitant. It's the power of Dawn. Like, they're not just going there because this school offered 20 grand more than the other. It's the power of, I want to play. Dawn Staley went into my living room and I really want to play for her. And she's getting players to do that, even knowing that they're playing like, I mean, I don't know. Take, for example, Atessa Johnson. She played 25 minutes. She'd be playing 38 for anybody else. I mean, she's a ridiculous talent. But at South Carolina, or like the Kits backup post plays 17 minutes. She'd be playing 35 for almost everybody else. So they are just stockpiling talent. And unlike in the men's game where you can do that, but still older is better, not in women's basketball. In women's basketball, if you're that much talent, more talented than everybody else, chances are you're going to dominate the sport. And that's what Dawn has done. Dawn has out-recruited everybody by leaps and bounds, and they have dominated the sport by leaps and bounds. So, and I don't see any sign of it declining. Like,
no.
Like, they're going to keep getting the best players. You know, Geno is clearly not getting quite the dominance in recruiting that he used to. Tennessee just fired their coach. They haven't been the same since Pat Summitt. Kim Mulkey, I know from my time in Baton Rouge this year, like, there was talk about the women's team getting more NIL money than the men's team, and that might be a sore subject with some, et cetera, et cetera. But she's not going to out-recruit Dawn. It's just a different deal, the kind of a player. So you've got a chance to have a mega dynasty, because Dawn doesn't appear like she's losing her fire to coach. She's going to out-recruit everybody in the sport on a regular basis. And then from that point on, it's let the best roster win. And I'll play with my hand. You play with yours. Let's see what happens. Yes, there's going to be a rare event like last year where they lose in the Final Four again to Caitlin Clark. But for the most part, there's no reason why, like, Dawn and this program could rattle off a ridiculous run of championships, a la what a Geno did at UConn, where they clearly had the most talented team almost every year. I don't see this thing slowing down.
100% agree. Of course, to your point, they're returning the entire team, except for Camila Cardoso, who is going to be a top five pick in the WNBA draft. But then they're replacing her with the best player in the country, Joyce Edwards. So no, it's not slowing down. It's ludicrous to even think about the fact that next year's team is probably going to be better than this year's team. More experience, the whole nine yards. We talked a lot about, and certainly we'll I'm really anxious to hear, you know, some of your thoughts on some of the bigger meanings of this and that and the other pertaining to the game itself yesterday. Early in the game was interesting. Because, and I wasn't the only one, I'm not a big, like, you said it last week, I agree with you there, but I don't really publicly say much about officiating and umpires and this, that, and the other. But you mentioned last week how bad women's basketball officials are, and they really collectively just aren't that good. Early in the game, I was a little concerned for the game itself, because Caitlin Clark had two obvious fouls that weren't called that she committed. And after that, if you put your hands on her, it was called a foul. And then they stopped calling that. And then every time after that, you would put your hands on her, she wanted a foul and she wouldn't get the foul. And I was wondering, I was like, at what point in time are these guys going to, because Donna was got teed up. Donna had enough. and she almost got teed up. They gave her a warning. I don't know if anybody caught that or not.
I caught it.
And so I was wondering, man, I sure hope that this thing doesn't go down this road, right? Like the greatest player ever in women's basketball, one of the greatest teams ever in women's basketball, they're battling this thing out. Let's not let officiating become the star of the show. I felt like it was for the first few minutes, and then after that it dissipated. What did you think, though?
I thought it was more bad, not as bad as some of the other ones. By the way, one they got right, with all due respect to LeBron James and everybody who, again, seemed to be triggered by the call, the illegal screen set against UConn or by UConn in
that
the game
the right
against
call.
Iowa, it was 100% of the legal screen.
Yeah.
Like, I get it, LeBron. You're clearly pulling for the other team for whatever reasons. That doesn't change reality.
Yeah.
The other part of that reality, I got to say this, the ignorance on social media is at an all-time high around that time. If you watch the game, if you watch the play, there's clearly a switch. So, like, Beckers, who's not as good as Caitlin Clark, not as good a shooter, but certainly very talented, the play is designed for her. Iowa clearly read the play. They have a switch. They have their big, I forgot her name, right there. And like waning seconds, 2 seconds, whatever it is left, chances are she's not, if she even gets the shot off, it's not like the men's game where they're rising 20 inches in the air and then releasing. If you put a big body right on a shooter, you're probably not going to get a great look, even if you get the shot off. So I hated the fact that it ended that way. I didn't want to see an illegal screen, but it's 100% of the legal screen. I'm sorry, Clint, if you disagree, that's an illegal screen by any measure. It just is. So anyway,
well, and that, Paige Beckers afterwards too took the high road on that, and
she did.
You
well,
know,
and yeah. I mean, like it's what people are really saying is, yeah, it's an illegal screen, but do you have to call it there? It's you're supposed to call it one way for 39 minutes, but then not the other way the next, right? Yeah. Like, do you really have to call the batter out there on a third strike? I know it caught the corner, but I don't want the game to end that way. Can you just call that ball four? That's not the way it works. But anyway, I mean, even if you didn't call it, chances are they're losing. They're not hitting. The play was read by Iowa, so that's a whole other story. No, I thought it was bad again, Jamie. You know, I mean, we could pinpoint a number of calls. You mentioned some. There were others that South Carolina did benefit from, but overall, it's just wildly inconsistent. It's a lot of butcher ball in the women. Like, you can't just let all that go, especially on the ball. Like, you have to call some of these things. You just have to call some of these things fouls. Letting it play on is not like a badge of honor. That's not like, oh, okay, well. So anyway, you know, it was bad, but it was consistently bad throughout. They have a problem in the women's game. And the people that really follow it know this, and the former players know this. Like, it's entirely too bad, inconsistent. I don't even know what other, just egregious. It's just awful. It's the worst officiating of any sport in college athletics, worse than football, worse than men's basketball, worse than baseball, worse than softball, worse than volleyball. They don't have officials in golf, but if they did, they would be better than what you have in women's basketball.
Yeah. I throughout the game yesterday, I was like I said, it got better from the Clark perspective. Clearly the most egregious one on Caitlin Clark's in the game when she literally shoved, I can't even remember who it was now. It might've been Breezy Hall. I don't know. Shoved her onto the floor and then stepped back and knocked down a shot. And everybody's like, what's going on here? Like, you can't just push somebody across the floor in an effort to get free. After that, though, on both sides, on the South Carolina side, Cardoso, like, she had a put back. It was actually in our montage. Like, she's being drugged backwards and somehow still throws the ball in the hoop. You know, like, there's just things that are happening. Right? How do you miss that? But then on the other end, like, multiple times, South Carolina over the back, no calls.
Right.
And like, I can't, they're just not good. And I was really concerned early on with, look, she is the best player in the country. I really don't want that to be the narrative here, that she's going to get every call because she's the best player. Well, in the history of the game, it ended up kind of shifting, of course. And South Carolina, again, was just the better basketball team. The real story in the game officiating aside, the story in the game was Raven Johnson and what she did defensively. Caitlin Clark scored 12 points from the second quarter through the fourth quarter. Mike, that's it. She took 28 shots in this game. She scored 18 in the first quarter, and after that, she was virtually quiet the rest of the game because of Raven Johnson. That is unbelievable.
It is. Let me just say this in fairness, because Connecticut did the same thing, and I forgot the girl's name, but they just had her did not pay attention to anything. Like the court is 94-50, but she just stared at Caitlin Clark and just shadowed her all along. That's why, like at the next level, and again, I don't watch the WNBA, but Caitlin Clark, when surrounded by four players of commensurate ability, you won't be able to just do that. So, like, South Carolina can do that because you're so much better at every other position that you can dedicate one player. That's her only goal out there. They don't need a single point from her. They don't need her to play help defense. I mean, you're taught, like, you always keep your eye on the ball. You don't just ignore what's going. That's not the way the last two teams played Caitlin Clark. They had a defender literally just follow her all over. It's like a pseudo box and one. It's not actually a box and one. I heard some people try to describe it as that. Again, that's inaccurate. That's not what a box and one is. They weren't playing a 2-2 zone, but it's a de facto box and one where you only care about one player. She still scored 30. She wasn't efficient. She had some unjustifiable turnovers, and I think she got worn down, whether it was physically, psychologically.
Played 40 minutes.
Played 40 minutes for the second straight game, and you're like hitting passes. Because that's what you do. If they're going to do that, well, okay, I'll make you pay. I'll just hit my teammate for a wide-open layup. Well, they're missing wide-open layups. So, again, how Iowa even got to two national championship games is a stinking miracle. But nevertheless, that was – and, of course, Raven was kind of the focal point of the trash talk from Caitlin a year ago. So, and to her credit, by the way, a couple things happened. Kind of sidebar stories, and we might as well get them out now because I don't think we're going to talk much women's college basketball for the next 6 months. number one, Caitlin and Iowa are better people than most of us would be, because the Angel Reese thing, you can say what you want, what Angel did after winning, like when you literally are like following a player everywhere she goes and pointing to the ring, like that's taunting. That's not talking trash in the spirit of talking trash. That's a little bit different. So they could have rubbed Angel's nose and you know what, and they didn't. They said the right things. They shook hands. Well, same thing with South Carolina. Like Caitlin kind of made them look bad a year ago. They could have said some things. Dawn could have said some things. They could have acted kind of knuckleheadish. They didn't do any of that. They just went out there, conducted their business, put on another beatdown, gave Caitlin her flowers, and then also at the same time, like scoreboard, last year withstanding, we are the best team. That's how I think you handle that, and that's how they handled that from top to bottom.
Well, Dawn went out of her way. She actually asked for the microphone back on the stage,
right,
to hat tip and congratulate Caitlin Clark not only on her performance as a player, but for what she did for women's college basketball, nobody knows that better than Dawn Staley, because Dawn has for a long, long, long time been one of those faces in growing this sport in this country and help elevating the platform. She gets it. She relates to that. She understands not only as a player what you need to do on the court, but what you need to do off the court and the type of questions you're going to get and the media coverage and all, every step you take, somebody's got a camera on you. Dawn gets that. And Caitlin no Clark has been going through that.
Yes. I actually, you guys would be proud of me. Not only did I watch every second of the women's Final Four, all three games, I also watched some of the Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird show.
How was that?
Oh, in a word, Taurasi was so upset. Like, she sat there looking like she smelled poop the entire night after the UConn loss. It was funny. I laughed the entire time. I was watching it with captions on at the time, and I didn't hear it. But you could tell. You didn't need to hear anything, because Diana Taurasi's face said everything you needed to know about how she felt about those
two games. Did you hear what she said about Angel Reese?
No, I didn't know. I missed the Angel Reese comment.
On TV?
She took some heat for this. Because after they lost, and they went back to when Angel did the one of her many little signals when they won the game last year. I forgot what it was, but basically Diana said, well, don't worry about it. Your career is over. Only Diana Taurasi gets away with that. Like,
right,
if somebody else said that. It was mildly entertaining. I mean, some of it I could do without. But what I thought was the one point that they had, and they also had Aaliyah Boston on one of the shows. But what all the ladies said is very true. Like, okay, as much as the popularity of the women's game has grown, and we'll see if it can be sustained, they're about to lose kind of the face of the sport. South Carolina is the team of the sport. There's no doubting that. But why doesn't that transfer over to the NBA or the WNBA is what their point was. Because on the men's side, and I get it, like a lot of people that follow college basketball, like your typical Gamecock basketball fan, might not spend 2 seconds watching the NBA. That's fine. But a lot of people do. The NBA does have a very strong following worldwide. The WNBA does not. It for the most part, it's crickets. Mm-hmm. And Diana's point was, well, why is it we can't get excited about some of these players like a Cardoso, like a Reese, like a Caitlin Clark? Why can't we get excited about that and keep up with them in the WNBA? And the answer is because at that point, most people don't care. Like they're excited about these players based predominantly on the name in the front of the jersey. I mean, if we're being honest, for all the Gamecock fans that have just become enamored with women's basketball, if the same thing was going on at Auburn, you wouldn't give a crap. You wouldn't give a crap about Dawn Staley. You wouldn't give a crap about any of the players on the roster. You certainly wouldn't care about their WNBA careers. But when you are, as college fans, the most passionate fans on the planet, when they get good at something, they fall in love with the sport. And that's what's happened in Gamecock Nation. It happened at Tennessee. It happened at UConn. It's we'll see how long Kim Mulkey can keep it up. But for the time being, it's happened at LSU. You know, the women outdrew the men in basketball at LSU, in attendance, that is. And so the question is, you know, why? Because the fan, your popularity is based, no matter how much we say this, the sport has evolved, and it has. It's so much better than it was 10 years ago. You had to, like, 10 years ago, and I would get into this, you know, it'd always be somebody. Be like, well, I'll tell you what, Mike, I don't know what you think, but the women's game is far superior fundamentally. I'm like, based on what? The 17 missed layups you saw? The three double dribbles? What was it fundamentally that was better? That just a desperate throwing darts at a board and trying to find some way to pump up the women's game. You don't have to put down the men's game to pump up the women's game. Like, UConn-Purdue is a great game tonight. Okay, I can enjoy this and the women's Final Four. I don't have to, like, crap on the men's game to try to make a point that's invalid. Okay, mm-hmm. Even the Diana Taurasis of the world and in all the WN, they're not going to tell you the men's game is inferior because they know better. They're not going to tell you the men's game is not fundamentally as sound because they know better. So when you come with that type of weak argument, you don't do anything to help your cause. Just enjoy both and enjoy this great time in women's basketball and hope that it can continue to gain steam. There's going to be other Caitlin Clarks. There's going to be other superstar players. As far as the WNBA goes, though, I don't know if that all of a sudden takes off because you've always had big names in the WNBA. Does that mean that you're going out of your way to watch it? I don't know many people that do.
No, but I think there's also a lot of people who aren't watching the NBA and are not. You know,
I started doing
the same thing for the men's games too. It was some of these guys.
You're right, Bill.
It's the college game versus the pro game. It's just
right. But there's more. If we're being fair, there's definitely more crossover of college fans. Like if GG Jackson is on a Memphis game and he's starting. By the way, he has been phenomenal this year.
Mm-hmm.
If GG Jackson is playing for Memphis on a Tuesday night, now that the women's college season is over, and the men's too, obviously, or will be tonight. If he's playing on a Tuesday night and you're a Gamecock fan, you might be a little tempted to watch, unless you're just so anti-NBA that you won't watch at all. And plus, the NBA has a ton of fans that they don't care about the college game, but they love the NBA. The WNBA doesn't have that. And I think there is more crossover on the men's side. You know, eventually, if South Carolina had two, maybe three guys in the NBA, you'd really might find yourself watching more NBA games. But yeah, I think that just stay in your lane. Like, just focus on the important things. The WNBA is not all of a sudden going to get a major spike, in my opinion, because of this latest phenomenon of women's basketball. And you don't have to, like, try to make comparisons to the men's game or try to crap on the men's game to make your point any stronger. That's not helping. Just enjoy what the women's game has been able to accomplish and the strides it has taken, and hope that it continues to do so. Hope that this is not a one-person phenomenon driving a lot of people that ordinarily wouldn't watch a basketball game of any kind, but they felt interested in tuning in because of one generational player. Try to have more of that. And I know one thing. I mean, ESPN will do its part to pump it up and to give it all kinds of incredible platforms to promote the game. And then now it's up to the players and up to, you know, the figureheads in the sport to perform.
It is 12:37. If you are so fired up and still just beyond belief excited that South Carolina won the national championship, you can put it on your chest, put it on your back, put it on your head, wherever you want. Gamecock Traditions has all the gear. It's in. You can order it. GamecockTraditions.com, or go see them in Lexington, or go see them in the Village at Sandhill. All the national championship gear has arrived. Gamecock Traditions. And remember from last week, remember the announcement? A percentage of every single sale, every one, goes to the NIL at the University of South Carolina. I mean, so you're winning here in more ways than one by, quote, donning yourself in championship garnet and black gear from Gamecock Traditions. I'm not too shabby. I've been thinking about that for a while.
See what you did on that. Beautifully orchestrated.
So, Mike, you're a smart guy, much smarter than me. I'm not so sure you're smarter than Phil, but you are smarter than I am. I have two questions for you, and you'll laugh, but that's all right, because these things come up when you win multiple championships, and it's fair to talk about them. What is a dynasty, and when is it okay to start naming courts and arenas and building statues and all the fun stuff that fans like to talk about when people perform at a consistent level? That's also at a very high level, you know, where I'm going with that. In addition, I mean, hey, 15 million people probably watched the game last night. Coach Cal said, "I got something for you."
Unbelievable.
Hey guys, how many people you think are on Twitter right now? Put it out there. Let's head to Fayetteville. So we certainly will talk to Mike about that. I know you got plenty to say on that. I'll shut up and listen. And then, as you pointed out, there is a hell of a game on deck tonight on the men's side if you can stay up until after 9 o'clock when they plan to tip this thing off. So that's all ahead. We're going to try to get to some Carolina football later if we can. But there's a lot going on. Plus, we've got a solar eclipse. I got to find my glasses. So everybody hang tight. Inside the Gamecocks, the show will be right back.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown goal. Set up the screen and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown goal. His second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer, turns the corner, touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey, folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right. You know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that, too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina. And we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
/12:43 inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barndo Co. Coming up, Mike, we've got what we have, a love driver on the SEC. What's in it?
Or we what, do.
Just don't tell us what's in it. You know that. You know how this works.
You want me to do a tease to keep
Oh,
the
that's
audience.
What they call those things. Yeah.
Right, tease. Right. And we can tease it now, still keep the people thoroughly entertained for the end of the hour. Go to a great commercial break with some of our terrific sponsors that our listeners will frequent. And then the much anticipated Love Chevy drive around the SEC will take off. The number one college basketball power. Love this bike. Love it. Love it. The number one college basketball power has its coach poached within its own conference. That does not happen often. Time for some baseball numerology. Jamie, you're going to love this. You know what? You know my feeling on the college baseball season. Statistics through like six conference games, a waste of time. We've played 12 now. We've played over half the regular season. I'm going to get down and dirty. Some naughty numbers in the SEC, including Carolina. And which SEC football coaches cracked the top 10? There's a poll out there right now with a distinguished panel of people that ranked the top coaches in college football, and I will tell you how many of those hail from the SEC.
That I am intrigued.
Yes, I mean, that it is names you'll find Intriguing. Thank you, Ed. Yes, that is North Dallas 40 behind me. Also do want to mention a great day for Salsaritas. Maybe you're having a late lunch. Maybe you're thinking about dinner. The two locations, Lexington and West Columbia. Hey, it's Monday. Kids eat free on Monday. Did I mention that? Kids eat free on Monday. So go take a village of over there and take Suki to task on that. Say, hey, Mike said kids eat free, so I brought a gaggle of children. Some of them are mine. Some of them, they may not be. But here we are, and we're ready to go. Of course, you can always pick up a nice meal at Salsaritas before or after a Gamecock baseball game. And if you've got a bunch of people, the Fiesta Pack is available. We've given some of those away. That feeds up to 5 to 6 people. You've got delicious food over there, the best Tex-Mex that money can buy in the state of South Carolina. It's all at Salsaritas, two locations in the Midlands. Say hello to Suki and the gang. They do a terrific job, much like Jamie Bradford.
I would call Salsaritas a dynasty.
Yes.
What is a dynasty? What is a dynasty? Is South Carolina in the middle of a dynasty? Are they in the beginning of a dynasty?
I think they're going to be preseason number one next year, are they not?
Oh, yeah.
So if they win 3 and 4, I don't think there's any question. That's a dynasty.
I would say that they're on the verge of a dynasty. Like, they've won 3 titles in 7 years. Well, yeah, that's right. 17, 18, 19.
I mean, you could call it a dynasty now. No one's going to argue with you because they also had, the number one season during the
2020
during the COVID year. So, I mean, no one's going to say you're wrong. But I think if you really want to cement it the way Tennessee and UConn have in the past, win a 3rd and 4th year, you'll be sitting pretty.
Yeah, I just always try to be fair, like. I feel like that word gets so easily thrown around.
It does.
Oh, it's a dynasty. And I don't think that's correct, but they have been to 4 straight Final Fours. So 4 straight Final Fours, 167 wins in the last 5 years and just 9 losses. That's like, what's the math on that? Like 35 and 1.5 a year? That's insane.
Yeah, you're not gonna see anything like it. Like what UConn has a chance to do tonight hasn't been done since 2007. That's just went back to back. That doesn't happen in the men's game anymore. In the women's game, we have a little more of a recent track record of programs doing it. I mean, specifically Geno.
So the Geno. So Geno has coached for 39 years, Mike, and he's won 11 titles. I personally believe he's still got a title left in him. And then whenever he wins that, he'll be gone. But he's won titles in 28% of the seasons in which he's coached. Think about 28%, dude. It's almost 1/3 of every season you've coached. You're going to win. You win the whole shebang. But like where it's gone in women's basketball, like, fact that there is more there are, I don't know how level the playing field is, because I like in the men's game, we've seen it now in the last couple of years. You've seen just last year, Purdue, the team is playing for a national championship tonight. They lost to a 16. Like, you're not going to see that in the women's game for a long while, if ever, at least in my lifetime. I don't want to say ever, but in my lifetime. But there are more teams at the top. And so it makes you think, like, with how Dawn has been able to build such a consistent program, that the word dynasty maybe has a little bit of a different meaning today than it did yesterday. And I mean, when I say yesterday, I mean 10 years ago. But it's just a more difficult sport to stay consistent in. Like, back then, every year you might have had a team kind of show up, but there weren't 3 or 4 or 5 teams that showed up. I feel like college basketball, women's game, there are that many now, and so I think that allows you to use that word a little bit sooner maybe than you would have at one point in time.
Yeah, look, our audience doesn't necessarily care about having more parity in the sport, right? Because You just want to keep dominating. Who cares about all this other stuff? I just want to keep having parades, it's 2 o'clock today, right? As I understand it, back in Columbia, give or take. But I do think, like, if the sport really wants to take it to the next level and you want people engaged in it, not just for a Final Four, but for the tournament as a whole and the regular season, like, you need more good teams. You need a little bit more diversity in quality teams. Right now, I mean, you've got a few that just are so head and shoulders above everybody else. Like, you watch some of those early matchups, even like an 8 seed. It doesn't look like it belongs on the same court.
Well, you're beating teams by 60 and 70 points in the first round.
Right. That's not good. And yeah, I mean, the way the women's tournament works is, like, whatever the men get, we have to have 2. So the moment that the men went to 68, well, we have to have 68. There was a women's NIT that just occurred. So if the men's field goes to 80, then the women's field will go to 80. Well, I mean, you're going to have some really lackluster matchups if you do go to that point, but
that's being kind,
perhaps. Yeah. So, you know, look, I have to think that eventually more and more young ladies are going to be, enamored with the sport. They're going to continue to get better, and they're not all going to go to the same 4 or 5 schools. That would actually be a plus. But in the meantime, South Carolina is going to continue to just out-recruit the hell out of everybody and dominate the sport.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's helped create, like, the transfer portal is not as front and center in women's basketball as it is in men's basketball, clearly in college football. Tahina Pau-Pau, Camila Cardoso, transfers to South Carolina. They're transfers. Right.
Where did Pau-Pau come from?
Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned football, Jamie. I was going to make that analogy, and I just forgot. I think the women's college basketball, unlike men's college basketball, unlike men's baseball, women's college basketball is a mirror image of football in one respect. If you have the overwhelming best rosters year after year after year, you're going to dominate the sport. It's what Kirby's doing at Georgia. It's what Nick did at Alabama. That's not to say they aren't great coaches, because they are. Nick is the GOAT, and Kirby is very good. And remember now, who's in charge of getting the talent? It's not a player, director of player personnel. It's not a general manager. It's the coach. Coach. Now, NIL obviously has a lot to do with that in football and men's basketball, and somewhat in women's basketball. But JC and I talk about this a lot on JC and Morgan. Like, college football is insanely predictable at the top. It just is. Take a look at the champions. Take a look at who's playing for the big prizes every year. And there's an outlier every now and then. There's a TCU who then gets thumped by 60 points in the national championship game. But for the most part, it's the most talented teams that continually recruit the best and get the best players in the portal, and then they go out there and dominate. That's what women's college basketball is.
That's a great point.
That is exactly what women's college. It's just the best rosters, minus an Iowa that had a phenom in Caitlin Clark. Like I said, you won't see Iowa in another Final Four probably in our lifetime.
Yeah, but that... you could compare them almost to TCU. I mean, not from Caitlin Clark's standpoint, but the team itself.
Yeah, and then I didn't have confidence that Iowa was gonna win the game. I honestly was closer than I thought it would be. I thought South Carolina would kind of steamroll them, and at times it looked like they were going to. They wore Iowa down. Talent prevails, and on a 1 through 13 roster. I guess women's college basketball actually gets 15 scholarship. Men get 13, women get 15. 1 through 15, like 14 out of the 15 for South Carolina are just better players. And in some cases, much better players. And then you have like a 6-7 Cardoso. And that's another thing that Bird and Taurasi pointed out. Like, in the men's game, if it was just a matter of size, and I realize we've got 2 quality big men. This is like we're going into a time machine tonight with Klingon. And 80, where it's like it was like 1985 all over again. Like, do we have Pat Ewing and Akeem Olajuwon playing in the championship game? We're used to that not being the case. But for the most part, and this is what the ladies were talking about, in the men's game, just being taller is not better. In fact, very few 7-footers do very well in college basketball because the quicker you can overcome size with quickness, athleticism, skill. In the women's game, if you're going up against a 6'7 Cardoso, she just towers over everybody and no one's out jumping her. So she just gobbles up rebounds like Pac-Man out there. So that is just a unique situation to have a player that size in the women's game. And it's just a complete, utter mismatch.
You've kind of opened up my mind with this comparison to college football, because I've been sitting here, you know, it's like South Carolina is probably the Georgia of college football, because they're Georgia wasn't new to the national spotlight, but they're the kind of the latest flavor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tennessee in women's basketball is like Miami or Southern Cal, like the standard forever, but just hasn't been able to get there. And then another coaching change. Will this work? I don't know. Maybe more. Yeah. UConn, kind of Alabama, you know, like they've always been. They might not win it every year, but they're going to be in it. You know, someone's going to have to beat them at some point in time to go through it. Because nobody talks about that. The point that you just made. Like,
right.
They talk about women's college basketball as to where it ranks on campus. You know, is it the third best sport? Is it the fourth best sport? You know, like you hear the same crap every year, but nobody talks about like the comparables of the structure of it. Like you just pointed out, college football, you could every year. I mean, I know that the playoffs expanding, Mike, but I could still ask you this year. What five teams would you say are going to make the college football playoff? And they're most likely, maybe with the exception of one or two, going to be the same five you've given me for the last 5 years or more. And I bet I could ask the same question about women's college basketball.
Yeah.
And it'll have the exact same name, different, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, if we could go into a time machine, let's just say 3 years from now, let's go into the year 2027. Women's basketball. I'll take South Carolina, UConn, maybe LSU, depending on what Kim's doing there. Stanford. In football, I'll take Georgia. I'll still take Alabama with Kalen DeBoer. I'll still take Ohio State. I mean, I'll start with those three, and then I'll go crazy and pick a dark horse and go LSU. It's insanely predictable. The difference is college. We love college football so much, and we love our teams and our conferences so much that we're still willing to go all in. The Gamecock fans are the perfect example. You're not willing to do that in women's basketball. Like if Dawn retired tomorrow and the program went back to what it was, you ain't getting 18,000 in that building. You're not following the recruiting. It's just a different deal. Some sports do not tolerate mediocrity. College football does. College football gets away with it because you love the sport so much and you can't get enough of those 12 Saturdays a year. That good, bad, and different, you're all in, man. You might bitch and moan about a loss. You might want to fire everybody after every time things don't go your way, but you're not going to all of a sudden stop caring. That's right. The difference. That's the power that college football has.
We will wrap it there. Electric Bikes of Charleston powers our program. They're powering us through a very, very busy Monday. ElectricBikesCharleston.com. ElectricBikesCharleston.com. Outside of, I think, Wednesday or Thursday this week, has anybody seen the weather forecast? Next weekend, 75 and 80 and sunny. Oh, my gosh.
Beautiful.
Why would you not want to be on one of those? Yes. Electric Bikes of Charleston. ElectricBikesCharleston.com. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated.
I want one of those. I'm ready to. Is it Michelle?
Michelle,
if you're listening, the wife would probably want one too, but I want one before the wife gets one. I'm ready to. I've been watching people ride all around in those things, and they look like so much damn fun. Quantrell, yes, I do think Dawn's coaching tree grows the game. I think that could only help, much like you see in other sports with a Hall of Fame coach. The assistants, you would think, would pick up some stuff. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to recruit like Don, but certainly that's going to be helpful. And Mike, how did you avoid not getting suspended this weekend at Starkville? Did you see what happened in that game, Jamie?
Well, I didn't see the full scope of it. I saw the report, and then I went back and saw some of it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you haven't seen it, watch the play at the plate. And I don't know what the Mississippi State catcher is doing or thinking. It was a clean. It's a head first slide. There's no such thing as a dirty head first slide. It's right at the plate. And the catcher, and I forgot his name, goes bananas and causes all kinds of players getting kicked out. Should have taken 40 minutes, by the way, to figure out how to move on with the game. That's a bad look for the umpiring crew. But we can talk about that. We'll get into some baseball. I've got more baseball today than I've had in a while on the Love Chevy drive around the SEC.
Including maybe what the hell is wrong with Florida and LSU. Carolina obviously struggling, but so are the Tigers and the Gators. Gamecocks and Gators will tangle this week down in the swamp. Coach Cal headed to Fayetteville. What's Mike think about that?
That's in there too. In there too.
Don't go anywhere. We'll take a drive way around the SEC when we return.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet. The best selection of new Chevys. The lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever and I've never felt more confident in my golf. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks.